Hello and welcome back on the Survey Sports Show on WIPZ.org. We're going to get into our interview now with Brandon Kinstler, Milwaukee Brewers relief pitcher. Brandon, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Brandon? How was Arizona Fall League and kind of working through your stress fracture with your arm?
The Fall League was all right. I was really only there for a couple of weeks, but it was a grind just because I was there last year. It's not always fun to play 12 or 30 games and you're there for 4 hours playing in a game, the longest games ever. But working through the stress fracture has been a grind, but it's been actually a little more smooth than I thought it would be. They say it's the easiest surgery to come back from as far as the elbow surgery, so it gave me a little confidence. I didn't get all my velocity back yet, but I was still getting up to 92 in the 4 outings that I had, so that was a good sign.
With the injury, is it tougher, you'd say, working with the fastball or trying to get your breaking stuff right, or what do you see as the most difficult part in getting through this injury?
I definitely think the slider. I mean, my changeup was always there no matter what. I didn't get my slider didn't start working until my last outing, so I definitely think just the elbow, and you got to be able to trust the form and everything to make the action happen. And then the very beginning is just getting, like, my first 3 bullpens, I had zero control, so that was a little problem. I was nervous about that too, but luckily that came around.
All right, Brandon, we're going to get in a couple questions. Just kind of, I mean, there's not a whole lot of people that maybe remember Brandon Kinstler. Of course, you made the team out of spring training in 2011, but we're going to kind of go back to September of 2010. Kind of what was the biggest difference as you transitioned? Of course, you were in an independent ball there for a little bit, went to Huntsville, and then on to Nashville. What was maybe the biggest difference from those minor league ball clubs to making it to the majors with the Brewers?
Definitely first maturity as far as from the team-wise. I mean, we had Hoffman in our bullpen. You definitely need to straighten up right away if you want to be on his good side. And then just learning how to, those guys worked harder than I've ever seen. They took it to a whole nother level. So your body had to, here in September, grind it out. But everyone was still doing their running, so your body had to adjust to that. And then just as far as pitching-wise, those guys just killed your mistakes. I mean, I think in AAA, if you have some velocity, you can get away with a lot. Normally it's AA where they hit the velocity. So I was getting away with mistakes a little up in the zone, and all of a sudden to the big leagues, and everything was getting punished right away. So that was definitely going to that offseason, I had to make an adjustment, and that's what I did in spring training, just working on basically trying to get ground balls instead of strikeouts.
All right, now speaking of Trevor Hoffman, I guess maybe in that little stretch you had there in September, who did you maybe learn the most from as something that, hey, I got to pay attention to this guy. He knows what he's doing, and I can learn a lot from this guy.
Well, Axford likes to take the wings a lot. I mean, obviously, he was learning from Hoffman, and then Axford really likes everyone to follow suit in what Hoffman was doing as far as this year. So I think at first, you know, you learn to watch Hoffman, and then obviously Axford's closer to age than me, and I'm not really accessible to Hoffman. So, I mean, he was cool with us, but I didn't feel like I can just go up to him and then say anything I wanted to him. So basically I would just go to Axford. And so I think Axford really is when I started to learn from, just from the way you're supposed to act. You know, it's a whole different, kind of got to, when you first get there, everyone's looking at you. They're waiting for you to say something stupid. So you really got to watch what you do and watch what you say.
First, just kind of give us a little bit of insight. Like when you first meet Trevor Hoffman, obviously you know this guy, and are you just in awe of him, or are you just like, I don't want to say something completely dumb to this guy, or what's kind of your mindset when you're meeting this guy?
Well, I've seen him around when I was with the Padres. You know, he's always working out, obviously, around the field and stuff, and you see him, but you didn't get to talk to him yet, and all of a sudden you're sitting next to his locker. You know, he made it easy. He's like, I'm Trevor. Like, he didn't like face it. I'm Trevor Hoffman. Watch out. I mean, you could tell a guy is kind of humble when he just introduces himself by his first name. When they want to throw their full name at you, it's kind of like they want you to know who they are. But he's like, hey, I'm Trevor. And I was just like, cool. And I told him I played with the Padres before, and he already knew that, so I thought that was cool.
Brennan, maybe talk about some of the stuff that you learned in that final month of the season besides maybe, of course, it's a bigger stage. Is there a certain level of nerves? Of course, you're nervous going into your major league debut and stuff, but just kind of talk about maybe your major league debut or things leading up to that. How did you deal with that and kind of get your emotions under control?
Well, I think it's all about keeping your mind focused, because I think if you go out there with a scattered brain, I think you're pretty much screwed. And I think you have to be nervous when you go out there. That way your mind's actually focused. If you go out there with too much confidence, I think your mind scatters a little bit, and you're not really paying attention to much because you think you're too confident. So I learned, basically, you know, not to psych myself out too much. Don't calm myself down too much, because all of a sudden the nerves go away, and your body needs those nerves. So I learned that. I think I learned when we went to San Francisco. I mean, that was a crazy place to pitch at, and I think I really let my brain scatter too much, and it kind of got to me. And then I started to learn that more, keep my nerves under control, but stay focused at the same time. I mean, we learned spring training from our team psychologist, like, the more nervous you are, the better your brain focuses. So I stay nervous when I'm out there.
Yeah, no, was that something maybe you learned from Axford? I mean, he has probably the most high-stress job, you could say, maybe in Major League Baseball, being a closer for a Major League team.
Well, I asked Hoffman, I was like, what do you do? I was like, yeah. In this situation, how do you even control your changeup? Like, obviously, I always think when I get too pumped up, I couldn't. Well, the changeup I threw at the time, I didn't think I controlled it. The one I learned this year, I think I could throw it any time with any nerves. But he just said, you know, it's all about routine. He just, yeah, your body needs a routine, your brain needs a routine. And I think he's like, you just act like it's just another inning. Obviously, the crowd's getting louder and the game's on the line. But if you remember, as long as you put your work in, you did your routine, there's nothing else you can do but just go out there and throw the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And now, looking towards next season a little bit, and of course, Axford, he had a tremendous year, but where do you see yourself as in this Brewers bullpen for next year? It's pretty much obvious right now that Francisco Rodriguez is not coming back. Do you kind of see yourself as maybe a guy that can fill that role there in the eighth inning or maybe the seventh inning?
Yeah, definitely. Well, this year I thought they were slowly working their way into the seventh and almost the eighth. I mean, there's seen a little talk about it because I was doing pretty good in that kind of mop-up role, kind of saved it. And then they started bringing me in to get the starter out of trouble and then go another inning and then move me into a seventh inning. So it kind of seemed like I was moving slowly my way towards a setup guy. I don't know if they'll want me right away to do that this year because they want to see how my elbow reacts and everything and see how I am. I mean, I think if I can be around the sixth, seventh inning and slowly work my way back, I mean, I can see myself doing that, but as long as I'm on the team, it's all that matters to me right now.
Brandon, quickly, I was kind of shocked when you came up in 2010, of course, not knowing much about you, but when you came to the game, it seemed like you had some real nasty stuff that kind of blew my mind a little bit just watching your stuff. Can you just talk about how you got to that level where you get that breaking ball where it's just so nasty that you're kind of making hitters look kind of foolish at the plate?
Well, I think it's all about arm speed and learning it yourself. A lot of guys, they don't learn about what makes them successful. I learned very quickly. As soon as they put me into the – well, actually, when I moved to Huntsville in 2009 when I got signed at Pinnable, the pitching coach said that just throw your two-seamer down the middle and your best pitch will be your slider and that'll be your put-away pitch. So I took that when I went to relief in 2010, I just started throwing all two-seamers because everyone said I had pretty good movement. And then my velocity started to rise, you know, 95, 96. And then all of a sudden you got this put-away slider, and it kind of made it a little more easier. I didn't need a changeup. So I was just – in double-A, I think it was a little more easier. You get ahead of your fastball, and then those guys aren't as disciplined. You just throw your slider down in the dirt, down away, and they're going to swing at it. But the more confident I got in that pitch, the better it was facing hitters. And all of a sudden I strike out on it in my major league debut, and that gave me a lot of confidence. I think I lost it a little bit last year, I think, because I gave up 2 home runs on sliders, I think it might have been part of my elbow slowly starting to wear down a little bit. So I lost confidence in it as the year goes on, but I've found it a little bit in the fall league, and hopefully I'll have that slider back along with my new changeup next year, and then good things will come.
As far as following the Brewers club this season and the postseason run, Brandon, how tough was that maybe to know that you couldn't really help them out, but you're kind of just being a cheerleader on the side? How did you deal with that, Brandon?
Well, in the beginning, it really sucked. Cause, you know, I thought out the plan was for me to come back and play before they actually found out I had a stress fracture. We went 2.5 months without knowing exactly what was wrong, so I thought I was going to come back and play. So it was real, a lot of rough, you know, to see us give up some leads and lose a little bit. But then we went on the, and when I went for surgery, we went on that great run. And I figured my season was over anyway, so then I just became the biggest cheerleader possible. And then in the playoffs, I couldn't even breathe or facing the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's a big thing right there. And then the Cardinals, you know, it was whatever. The Cardinals were a hot team. There's really nothing to get mad about. There's nothing we can do. Some of our pitchers were tired. It's just, you could tell that, I mean, it was just like the Giants the year before. They were a hot team. They won the last game to get into the playoffs, and they were just hot. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. So, but I was happy. At least we won one series. It was exciting to watch.
Yeah, it was exciting to watch, being from the Milwaukee area here. You're listening to the Surway Sports Show here on WIPZ. We're with Brandon Kinstler, Milwaukee Brewers right-handed relief pitcher. Now, Brandon, obviously the Brewers had a great season, and it didn't end the way that everyone wanted. But what do you think it takes for this Brewers club to take the next step? You mentioned that it was pretty obvious we kind of ran out of steam there in the pitching staff, specifically Sean Markham. But what do you think it takes to take this next step to the World Series?
Just a little more consistency, probably. I mean, maybe lay back on our starter. Maybe if we clinch early or something, lay back on our starters early. I'm not sure. Just Markham was only 2 years out of Tommy John. I could see him.
Yeah.
It's usually like a rule. Like, obviously, guys go on pitch limits. But obviously, in a playoff hunt, he's not going to be on a pitch limit or inning limit. I think stay consistent. The team's real good. I mean, if Prince comes back, it's great. If not, I really think that the team's good enough where they might be able to make up for it around there. Maybe the team might turn into more of a speed team. Who knows? I mean, I don't know what Ron Swann is, but... I just think, you know, Gamble's a really good hitter. I've watched him a couple years in AAA. He's a really good hitter. If he's the guy that fills the spot, I mean, I don't know if he's going to hit 300 with 120 RBIs, but you never know.
With being in the Brewers organization, Brandon, are you kind of nervous, like, with the speculation around Prince? Is it you kind of don't know what to think? I don't know what your relationship with the guy is, but who do you believe will be that leader to someone's not going to completely fill the void of Prince, but who do you think will step up among the leaders on this Milwaukee Brewers team?
I mean, obviously, you know, Braun's soft-spoken, but he's always a leader, just kind of in the background. But on the field, he's pretty talks it up a little bit. I don't know. It's kind of, I mean, Prince is just a big, loud, funny teddy bear in the locker room, and he's so intense on the field. I mean, I don't know, maybe Ricky, maybe, but I think he's too quiet too. But they'll bring in a personality. I mean, that team just with Kotze, he's a great personality. Yeah, the Niter was a great personality. There's just so many different guys that have on that team to where what made that team so special. It really depends on when we break camp, who's on that team, and then we'll see. Maybe someone will be the big loud teddy bear.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I mean, that's how Prince is, but whether he does leave, I mean, everyone wishes him the best, but he's been a great guy here for the Brewers organization. Now, looking forward to next season, Brandon, what are some of the things that you need to get prepared for next season, kind of your timeline? I mean, pitchers and catchers do report in 80 days, so it's not too far along. We'll see you in Arizona.
I feel like I just got done.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, right now I'm not doing any throwing until January. So basically it's just all about getting strong, getting my shoulders strong to take the stress off the elbow. And that's what they told me to do. So I'm really trying to focus on that. And it's basically, you know, I learned a lot about what I'm supposed to do to my arm. I mean, I learned before when I had shoulder surgery in 2006. But now I learned more you got to more about the forearms and the tricep. I always thought you weren't supposed to do much triceps, but they're saying you got to do a lot of triceps. So it's just more about strengthening around the elbow for this offseason for me and getting in better shape. And I need to come prepared in spring training. I mean, a lot of guys would basically, like guys like Axford, can come in and get ready in spring training. But some of us got to be ready to go. Hopefully they'll understand, though, if it takes me a little bit of time.
Yeah, you haven't had much off time. It almost seems like you were on the World Series roster as you've had to pitch like well into November here. But
last year, too, so I had to go to college last year, so I really haven't got much break.
Brandon, I kind of have a question for you as far as, obviously, maybe fans that watch the game, general fans, don't realize how tough it is to pitch in the major leagues and be a consistent pitcher or hitter. Can you kind of talk about that, give some insight into the fans about that? And, yeah, you see a home run given up, but you realize how good these hitters actually are that you're facing, Brandon.
The thing is, the guys in the big league, if you make one, you almost have to be perfect every pitch. I mean, those guys are looking for one pitch out of maybe six that they see to punish. And the fact that they can just sit probably 70% of the time, they punish that ball if you throw a hanger. I mean, they're going to kill it almost every time. And you need to almost be perfect, and you need to throw it below the knees. Yeah, sometimes you see a guy get away. I think I saw K-Rod get away with a lot of pitches up in the zone. But they were, like, above the zone where they pop them up or they swing and miss because they thought it was going to come down, but it didn't. I just think, obviously I don't think any fan's so bad for us if we give up a home run. Like, oh, this guy's, he's in the major leagues. He needs to do what he's supposed to do, but it's still hard. I mean, not many guys can go out there and be perfect every time. We're going to give up hits. We're going to sometimes walk guys. Sometimes you don't get the strike call that you want, and it's just a lot of borderline pitches that you might get where they could change your whole at bat. I mean, that happens a lot of times. And then all of a sudden, if you don't get that pitch, now you got to come to the hitter, and sometimes you just make a mistake. That's all about. You go out there planning on not making a mistake, but sometimes if you psych yourself up too much, you'll make that mistake, and then they'll punish it every time, and then you're killing yourself for the next 2 days wondering why you threw that pitch. But you have to be perfect almost every time, and that's tough.
All right, Brandon, you're listening to the Survey Sports Show on WIPZ.org with Milwaukee Brewers relief pitcher Brandon Kinstler. Final question here. If there's anything that you'd like the Milwaukee Brewers fans to know about you that maybe some kind of secret or something, a fetish, I don't know, or something like that, that they don't know about you, what would that be, Brandon?
Well, everyone talks about Axford's freaking cell phone job, and I think I've worked at Cold Stone's Creamery, and I worked for the independent ball team. I sold tickets in the front office for them.
Oh,
in
really?
The winter in Canada. That's pretty tough to do. I've never been so cold in my life. I'm going to get some minus 50 in Winnipeg.
Brandon, I'm just curious how, I mean, from going to selling tickets in a front office in an independent ball to pitching in the major leagues, just kind of give your perspective on that and how insane that really is.
Well, you look back, it all happened in a matter of less than 2 years. I just showed how fast that if you work, like I worked my butt off. Obviously, there's a lot of motivation because when you're working for the team you play for, there's like a reality check. You're like, what am I doing? So then that was just, I worked my butt off that offseason, and I went to independent ball, and it was just a lot of motivation. And all of a sudden you're in the big leagues. You're like, wow, it's amazing how happened. Life changes as long as you put in the hard work and you get a little luck. I mean, I got some luck in the minor leagues. I mean, they didn't have to put me as a closer in Double A. I was supposed to be the swing man, and they just, Mikey Guerrero moved me to the closer, and I got lucky. He put me there. They put me, the thing is, the Brewers always put me in a position to succeed, and that's why I always be grateful for them. And I always want to play in Milwaukee. They gave me the chance, and the stadium's great. So that's the thing. I went from playing in front of 2,000 to 40,000 in a matter of less than 2 years. It was really crazy to sit back home and think about.
Yeah, it's incredible. Milwaukee Brewers fans deserve a lot of credit as they draw 3 million strong and support this team. All right, Brandon, we look forward to seeing a healthy Brandon Kinstler on the mound this season in Milwaukee. Best of luck defending the NL Central Division here this season, and thank you very much for joining the program.
All right, that was Brandon Kinstler, Milwaukee Brewers relief pitcher. Very nice to talk with Brandon, and a lot of interesting stuff he had to say, Jake.
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting stuff he had to say, of course. Kind of who he learned from. A lot he learned from Hoffman and Axford coming up at the end of the 2010 season. And also kind of getting his perspective on Prince Fielder, as he does think Matt Gamel can maybe make a push for first base and be a solid replacement if Prince Fielder does leave in free agency.
Yeah, Jake, a lot of interesting stuff that Brandon said there, going from selling tickets to playing in the big leagues. A great story. It's kind of sad that maybe people don't really know Brandon Kinstler's story, but that is absolutely amazing story that he just told us, Jake.
Incredible. Glad to have him on the show today here on the Sir Worry Sports Show on WIPZ Ranger Radio.